Welcome to the Northwest Hospitality Leadership Podcast. Today, Washington Hospitality Association President and CEO Anthony Antone discusses leadership with Frank Welton, former Regional Vice President of Hilton International and a recent recipient of the Burton Shaw Lifetime Achievement Award. In part two of this conversation, Frank and Anthony chat about leading the next generation of employees and how this differs from Gen Xers and Boomers. Frank also talks about leadership books that have helped him along the way. You can find a list of them in the description of this podcast. Thank you to our sponsor, Training Solutions. And now, here's Anthony.
I want to get into one of the things that I think you just started to touch on it, that really probably made you great, and that was your ability to mentor. I was at a Seattle Mariners game last September, and someone walked up to me and said, "You're the guy that works with Frank, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She was an assistant GM under you. She just became a new GM. And she went on to tell me a couple of 10-minute stories about you and her development and growth. And so I think it really strengthens your ability to make a difference in your team's life. Why do you believe that you were such an effective mentor to so many of these people who remember you this way?
People recognize that, you know, my experience was pretty broad after 50 years, and probably more so than most, because I went through, you know, as an officer of the company, I went through five different acquisitions and mergers. The first company I started with, Red Lion, was purchased by KKR and then taken public and sold to DoubleTree, which merged with Promise Hotels, which was bought by Hilton, who was bought by Blackstone. And through the process of going through so many things in my career, all these different leaders, different CEOs back in the early days, and many, many, many more, I was just exposed to so many things throughout my career that many people never get the opportunity to do. At the same point, running all these different hotels and as well as working when I was, even before I was general manager, I think in almost every department in the hotel. So my experience was pretty broad. So my stories as it came are going to help people to understand things. I had an experience that really, you know, I knew what was going to happen next because I had lived through so much of it. When we were bought and acquired by Blackstone, I knew what Blackstone was going to do. I could help the people understand what was coming next, how to help them work through what was coming next, whether there was a recession coming up, what we had to do, how we had to prepare, and then even just running a department, you know, from running so many hotels and going through recessions and going through different things, you have to touch every part of your business so many different times. You learn a lot through that process. And I think that, you know, what I found as a leader is you're constantly dealing with new managers, new general managers, new housekeeping directors, new HR directors, new people all the time. And so you have to be able to help them through the process. And it just becomes part of who you are, I guess, is spending the time to help people understand how our business works, how you can develop and become successful, how you can reach your goals and produce results. And it just kind of became inherently what I did.
Which statement would be more true to you upon reflection? You're considered a great mentor because you focused on that as one of the things you're trying to accomplish, or because the four principles you laid out led to the success in mentoring?
I think it was a big part of the principles too, because for me, you've got to rely on others, right? You have to create an environment where it's collaborative and people have to work together. So through that working together process, you have many opportunities to help people learn and grow. It's all about caring about individuals, right? And caring about your business and trying to find ways to have people perform at their highest level. So mentoring is a critical part of you know, I guess that principle.
So let's pretend you were in retirement, flying from your home to get away with your wife somewhere else, and you're in an airport bar, and someone sitting next to you, they turned out to be a brand new GM.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Hey, give me one piece of advice that would really help me develop my leadership, because I'm now in a role where I'm leading more than I'm doing." In the course of one drink at an airport, talking to a new GM, what would be that key thing you would hope to leave them with, and that they would remember that could really help them develop their leadership?
Yeah, it's not, probably not just one thing, but you know, new general managers used to always first and probably foremost talk to them about going into an environment and developing a rapport. It's scary when you're have a new general manager coming into a hotel. You know, the people are all thinking about themselves, of course. How am I going to fit in? Is this guy going to like me or girl going to like me? Am I going to get fired or what's going to happen? So I used to, and the same thing when I went into a hotel and met the general manager for the first time, I knew he was like scared to death of me if he had never met before. So it was really, really important. And I would advise them to spend some time establishing a rapport with their team. And as an example would be when I would fly in to meet a new general manager at a hotel, and I would sit down and they would have all their numbers, their financial statements and everything all ready to talk about their business. And I would say, let's talk about you. How are you doing here? You know, what is it? You know, what is it you want to accomplish in this role? I mean, where are you going, you know, next? You know, how's your family? How's the work environment working for everybody? I mean, you really find a way to get to know the person. And I think they get a sense of how you're going to lead them. And those are the things I think you have to get out of the way first. You know, they want to know who you are and how you're going to lead them, and hopefully that they can connect with you. And so establish that rapport is first in my mind, but also make sure that you show that you care about the people you work with. You know, recognition we talked about earlier is one of the most important things you can possibly do. Find a way to recognize your team in many, many different ways, and send them thank you notes, birthday wishes, you know, team outings, parties, rewards, but show the people that you care and reward them and recognize them for their efforts. Those are a couple of things that I would probably tell a guy sitting at a bar if he was going in a hotel.
I love that. I really love that for a lot of different reasons. There's been a lot written about the new generations. And while I fully believe in the new generations, and I don't necessarily share some of the negativities that others share about the new generations, I would acknowledge there's a difference between thinking of boomers and Xers versus the thinking of millennials and Gen Zs. And that doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it's different. Did you notice that you had to lead differently as you saw more and more millennial leaders start coming through the company than you led before? Or did the principles and your style pretty much stay unchanged?
No, you have to evolve. You know, you have to adapt. And that was something I was always very good at, because I had to adapt in order to live through all those mergers and acquisitions, right? So, you know, and the same is with your management style. You're growing and adapting and changing it constantly. Read hundreds of books. You learn things along the way, and hopefully you never stop learning. So yeah, your management style is going to adjust based on the environment that you're in. And millennials were different than what we're used to. We used to kind of talk about it in our executive committee meetings and stuff, because, you know, they needed satisfaction now. You know, it was in the old days, you kind of tell somebody, well, do these things and you're going to get ahead and get promoted. Millennials, you can tell them that, but 3 days later, they haven't been promoted yet. You know, and so you had to find ways to keep them motivated and satisfied with their job, or else you would lose them. Their development plans, quick development, advancement was critical to many people. When I recall within our teams, and we would talk about that a lot. What can we do? Is there something we can do with this person? And it often meant maybe changing disciplines or trying something different. Every individual depending on their background or age or whatever, you have to, you can't just put everybody in a box. You have to look at them differently. And certainly the younger generation, you know, as a whole, we had a lot of those. I'll never forget the story of a young woman who was an administrative assistant in the office. I thought, well, I've got a great job for her. I want to make her a promotions coordinator for food and beverage. So get out there and promote, you know, the restaurants and other things. I set her down in my office. Hey, you know, you're an administrative assistant. I've got a great opportunity for you. It's promotions coordinator. You're working in the F&B department. She looked at me and she said, well, Frank, that's not in my plan. And I said, well, okay, well, I'm sorry. No, this is what I want to do with my career. And this is where I'm going. And I want to have this job next and this job next and this job next. And I've been working towards that plan. And that's what I want to do. Okay, then I appreciate, you know, your candidness, and we'll get to work on your plan. And she turned me down flat. It was a big raise and everything else, but just didn't fit with what she wanted to do with her own career. I thought that was interesting, because back in the day, you know, nobody would have ever questioned that. They would have just taken
it. Right. Well, I think that's great advice, because I do think that's something that's missing is we probably need to spend as leaders a little more time on their motivation and understanding it and getting them to know that while we're asking them to buy into our goal, we probably need to buy into their goal just a little bit and understand where they want to go. Do you have a favorite leadership book or a book that was contained a lot of examples and helpful stuff along your principles that you'd recommend to others to put on their shelf and read and reread as they grow?
You know, I started out, you know, 25, 30 years ago, as most people did, with Stephen Covey's books, you know, The 7 Habits. And certainly for younger people, you know, those things are still relevant today. Ken Blanchard's books, you know, you remember all of those things. And I've read, you know, hundreds. I mean, you read, you're getting so exposed to all these different things. And I think all of us know that there's been more books written on leadership than any other subject. And they're everywhere and out there. Probably on a more current basis, one of the books, there's a couple of books that I would always do. I had books in my office I would give the new managers. And when a new manager come in, there was a couple of books. One was The First 90 Days. So that was just a book focused on transition and the type of things that they needed to consider as they're going through, you know, this transitional period. So The First 90 Days was a good one. And one that goes way, way back that I've always enjoyed, because it's a very simple story, but it's called ZAP, The Lightning of Empowerment. It's really about getting increased productivity, increased sales through positive reinforcement. You reward somebody when you see them doing something well, and you're re-emphasizing what's important. You're going to end up getting better results from it. So those were two that I always handed out to my managers. But the one that was kind of eye-opening for me, which is a newer book, I guess it's all relevant now. It's probably 5 or 6 years old now, but it's called Under the Hood by Stan Slapp. And it's a book about culture. And it's not your traditional culture book, because that's a word that's used pretty loosely, as you know, too. But it really helps you understand that if you want to affect the culture, because, you know, you have to understand the whys and hows a little bit more. And Stan Slapp does a great job of doing that, because you realize when you go into any organization, it's not your culture. There is a culture going on with amongst the employees in every restaurant and every department of the hotel that's they own. You don't own it. And you can get up and talk about PowerPoints and everything else. That's not necessarily going to get people to buy in. You have to find ways to inspire people to believe in what it is you're trying to do. So anyway, Stan Slapp's book, Under the Hood, is a good one.
Frank, I am kicking myself that you and I didn't do these conversations while you were my chair more often, because you were always great. But I'm really enjoying these. And I'm trying to focus on, I only have you for a couple more minutes. Gen Xers, which is my generation, is almost 30% smaller than boomers who are retiring. And it's creating a situation that we're going to face for a while that millennials are going to have to step up faster because there's not simply not enough Gen Xers to replace the number of retiring boomers. So we're going to have to take risks. We're going to have to see something within people because they're not going to have 8 years experience per se, but I need a body and I need that body to step up and do great things. You opened with one of your first principles as being able to take ownership and see people who really care about what they do. Were there any key signs or key questions or ways where you saw that spark in someone early because they didn't have the track record, but you said like, wow, that is something I think we can really build on?
Yeah, I mean, finding, you know, people that really care about the organization and care about what you're doing and care about you or, you know, as a leader, you know, are critical because everybody's kind of motivated by their own different things. I'll tell you a story.
I love stories.
There was this is also about down at SeaTac and when I was general manager there. And there was just a new airline crew that was just starting with the hotel. It was a big one. I think there were 30, 40 rooms a night. So I talked to the director of front office. I said, hey, I think it'd be great if you met this new crew at the airport, you welcome them on, you know, the shuttles, you handed out cookies or whatever there, you kind of rode the bus in, you made their experience, their welcome experience for the first time coming to the hotel, a good one. And he says, well, they landed 5:30 in the morning. He gave me this look like, you know, you got to be kidding me, right? And this restaurant manager, who I love dearly, raised her hand and said, I'll do it. And she just kind of lit up the room. Everybody was standing there. She goes, I have no problem. I'd love to do it. And she had a busy job herself and she worked a lot of hours, but you could tell, and I got to know her better and she was promoted through our organization, but she cared, right? She cared about what we were trying to do, where the other guy was like, you know, it's kind of early in the morning. I'm not sure I want to get up that early to go do that. So I think the key is you find the people that, you know, like the Annas of the world, that they can do a lot and they can, you know, they can change things. And you got to make tough decisions sometimes. So maybe the guy that didn't get the bus, maybe wasn't the right fit at the right time. I don't know. Those are decisions you have to make, but it's great if you can surround yourself with people that can make things happen.
I love that story. And I think that'll be helpful for many. Frank, wrap it up. I honestly, I could talk to you for the next couple of days. I've really enjoyed our conversation, but if someone's listening to this podcast and really trying to refine their skills, what will you hope that they took away from my time together today?
Well, it's about the people that you're with. You really need to focus on the type of skills that you can to develop the right culture within your organization, to motivate people, to help them, because the only way that anybody's going to ultimately get, you know, be successful is if they have their people behind them. And you have to develop those skills. It's critical. I have to tell you that we've had the most talented general managers and officers of the company that didn't last because they couldn't get their people to support them, and the results started to show. So that's a critical piece of anybody taking on any responsibilities. Is you've got to find ways to keep your team behind you.
That is a great way to end it. And I think really talks about why we're trying to do these podcasts, to really kind of give examples and give people strength and courage to lead differently and lead boldly as we experience all the things we're going to experience in our industry in the next 15, 20 years. We don't know all the problems we're going to face, but we know we're going to need great leaders to do it. And on great leaders, Frank, I can't thank you enough for being one. I really loved working with you. Congratulations on the Burton Shaw Award. It was well earned. And I hope we get to talk to you and see you again whenever we can. So thank you very much for being here today.
Well, thank you, Anthony. It's my pleasure. And anytime, as you can probably tell by today, I don't mind talking about our business. Appreciate it very much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Northwest Hospitality Leadership Podcast. Join us next time when Anthony sits down with Shannon McMenamin of the McMenamin's chain of brew pubs, breweries, music venues, historic hotels, and theater pubs. Thank you to our sponsor, Training Solutions. If you have any questions, email us at podcast@wahhospitality.org. Thanks for listening.